is the lust of the flesh. And we've taken each of the fruit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, and we've had a lesson on each of those. And what I wanted to do is to put the lust of the flesh side by side with the fruit of the Spirit. And I had done that in my handout, but unfortunately I won't be able to give you that, so I'll just teach it. But the Bible says the fruit is in the cluster. The wine is in the cluster, rather. We think the wine is in the bottle, but the wine is in the cluster. And that's how the joy of the Lord flows through the church, because of the cluster of people gathered together. But in this study, we have shown how if you're deficient in one of those fruit, then you're going to be deficient in many areas of your life. And so what we want to do tonight is look at these, and then I will do the best I can without the handout. But very likely, if you're not producing the fruit of the Spirit, then you are producing the lust of the flesh. Divine manifestations and satanic manifestations, they are possible in any human being. You can walk in the Spirit, or you can fulfill the lust of the flesh. It's just that simple. You can either have God working in you, or you can have the devil working in you. And if God is not working in you, then very likely it's the devil that's manifesting himself. So it's by the fruit of the Spirit that we know a tree. We understand the tree by the fruit. A banana tree produces a banana every time. An apple tree produces an apple every time. The fruit that manifests itself inside of you and outwardly from the inside of you, that is exactly who you are. God created man, spirit, soul, and body. And man is a spirit, he has a soul, and he lives in a body. And we are more body conscious in America than anything else. But the body is either controlled by your solical parts or by the spirit. Right. Now, the body should really be a slave to obey the spirit, what is on the inside of a person. The human spirit is man's born-again nature, and the spirit is warring against the flesh. With the mind, man thinks. Your soul is your psyche. A lot of people think about the spirit when they think about soul. But your soul is your psyche. That's where we get the word psychological. And with the mind, man thinks. With the emotions, man, he reacts. And with his willpower, he decides. So the mind, will, and emotions make up the soul of man. And if you don't know that, you'll have a hard time walking in the spirit. But little Johnny went to Sunday school with his daddy, and his daddy asked him afterwards, said, "What did you learn in Sunday school, Johnny?" He said, "Well, we learned that we're to obey our parents in order, we're to honor our father." Later that day, Johnny disobeyed his parents, and his daddy asked him, "What did you learn in Sunday school today?" He said, "We learned that we're to obey and to honor our parents." Well, Johnny disobeyed his parents that day, and once again his daddy asked him, "What did you learn in Sunday school?" And he said, "We learned that we're to honor and to obey our parents." Then his daddy asked him, "Well, why didn't you obey and honor your parents?" And little Johnny looked puzzled, and then he asked, he said, "Daddy, what's a parent?" So it's important that you understand what we're talking about. And I wanted to give you that handout, but unfortunately, I will not be able to do that tonight. But I want you to look with me at Galatians 5:19. The Bible lists 17 works of the flesh, and they're all manifestations of man's lower nature. So we've been talking about Galatians 5:22 and 23, but we're going to get back up to the works of the flesh, because sometimes you understand something better by knowing what it is not than by knowing what it is. So look at the works of the flesh. "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envying, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such the like." In other words, that's not a complete list. "Such the like. Of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." The Bible says if you do these things, then you are not going to inherit the kingdom of God. And then the Bible lists 9 manifestations of the fruit of the Spirit. And they're found in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Let's say them together. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. So the flesh is our fallen nature, and the recreated spirit is God's divine nature inside of us, which is contrary to the flesh. So what we call the lust of the flesh are the results of man's fallen nature. Just like little Johnny, you know. There's a cookie thief in every child. If you don't believe it, just bake some cookies, mother, and put them up on a shelf and say, Johnny, don't touch those cookies. And little Johnny, he'll go and he'll take a chair and he'll get up there and he'll get those cookies. And you come back and you see crumbs lying everywhere. And you say, hey, Johnny, did you get those cookies? No, mama, I didn't get those cookies. So inside everybody, there is that lower nature. And there's a cookie thief in every one of us when we're born. And that's why we have to be born again. Amen. But what we call the lust of the flesh, they're the result of man's fallen nature. When Adam fell, we all fell with him. They are fruit of rebellion. And the lust of the flesh, they are nothing other than the fruit of rebellion. Rebellion against God. And the fruit of the Spirit is related to our being born again, being new creations in Christ, and sons and daughters of the Most High God. The ungodly person does produce fruit. He produces fruit from his lower nature, from his sinful nature, which is a result of his rebellion that comes from the first man, Adam. So you're not bad because you're bad. You're bad because you're born that way. And you have to be born again. One man said, if you don't like the way you were born the first time, try being born again. I'm sure you'll like that. Amen. So the regenerated human and the unregenerated flesh, they represent two different worlds of activities. The life of the Spirit is the born-again man seeking to change and transform the soul of man. And the life of the flesh is the lower nature working in you. And though they that do the things of the flesh, they shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now look at Galatians 5:17. It says, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And they are contrary one to the other, and you cannot do the things that you would. Every desire that you have to break God's commandment is of the flesh. And if you feed the flesh, guess what? The flesh will be strong. If you feed your spirit, the word of God, then your spirit will grow and your spirit will be strong. And it's just that simple. Some people come to church on Sunday morning and they wonder why they have all the problems that they have controlling their lower nature. It's because they're not feeding the spirit. If you feed yourself carnality throughout the week, if you don't have a prayer life, if you don't read your Bible, I'm not talking about a law, I'm talking about the love of God. If you don't have a love for the word of God and if you don't want to talk to God, you will never achieve what you could achieve as a Christian. You have to feed the spirit man. So when the spirit says, don't do that, don't watch that show, don't go that way, and the flesh rebels against it, that is not the spirit of God. And you've got to know that. So sometimes you know what is spirit and what is flesh by knowing what something is not. That's why we're looking at these lusts of the flesh. So you'll have to decide who is going to be the boss, your spirit or your flesh. And it's all up to you. And that the Bible says there's a war going on inside of you. The flesh is warring against the spirit against the flesh, and they're contrary one to the other. That proves to you that you've been born again, because before you got saved, there was no war. You just did everything you wanted to do, and you had a conscience, and you may have been taught some good things. You decide, well, I won't do that. But I tell you what, that was inherent in you sin, and the sin has to be dealt with at the root. And that's why we teach salvation, and nothing is ever born clean. We talk about sanctification going on in God, that putting that old man of sin to death, putting on the new man, putting off the old, and having your life transformed by the word of God. And you have to understand spiritually what we're talking about. So the spirit and the flesh are contrary one to the other, and you cannot do what the flesh wants to do. Now, if you're going to do the things that the flesh suggests, then they're not the same things that the Spirit suggests. So then if you shall not inherit the kingdom of God is what the Bible says. So you won't be a child of God very long. If you just keep going away from God, keep going away from God and keep walking in the flesh, there's a downward progression of the ungodly. Psalms 9:1 says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of life that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. So if you want to prosper, learn to walk in the Spirit. Learn to obey God. Find out what God said and do it. And that's just real simple. Hallelujah. Now, I want to look at these lusts of the flesh one more time and versus the fruit of the Spirit because I don't have the handout. Look at Galatians 5:19. Now, the works of the flesh, which are manifest of these, adultery. What is adultery? Well, adultery is sexual intercourse between two individuals when someone is married and then they're having sexual intercourse with someone that's not their spouse. Fornication. Well, what is that? Well, fornication is sexual intercourse between an unmarried man and an unmarried woman. So these things are real. They've existed since the beginning of time, and they're there, and you just have to decide where you're going to walk. Uncleanness. Well, what is uncleanness? Moral or spiritual impurity. Something that's dirty, something that's obscene, something that's vile. So lasciviousness. Lasciviousness is lewdness or lustfulness, just somebody that's full of lust. You ever seen people like that? A woman can walk in the room and all of a sudden their eyes just follow everybody that goes. And you'll see that in the church too. In other words, you can't hide what's in you. It'll come out sooner or later. And if you feed yourself that, guess what? That's exactly what's going to manifest itself. So if you're going to be holy, you're going to have to seek holiness. And people that work jobs, it's everywhere you go. It's all in the world. It's in the church. It's everywhere. I said it's in the church, too. Can I get an amen? Amen. You better believe it is. But idolatry. What is idolatry? Idolatry is worshiping idols. Excessive devotion to a person or thing. But you don't have it back there. Look up Ezekiel 14:3. Ezekiel 14:3. See, an idol, we think about something you're going to fall down and worship. But anything that is in your heart that you love more than you love God is an idol. It says, Son of Man, Ezekiel 14:3. These men have set up idols in their heart and put the stumbling block of their iniquity before my face. God says, should I be inquired of at all by them? God says, they have idols and yet they're coming to me and they're asking me for my blessings. See, God wants to bless his people. God wants to pour out his goodness and his mercy. But he said, if you got an idol in your heart, he said, don't even come to me unless you're going to come repenting. Son of man, these men have set up idols in their heart. It could be a sports activity. It could be your job. It could be your spouse. It could be a little child that you love that child more than you love God. I think Abraham might have had that problem. And God said, take your son, your only son, take him to Moriah and offer him a sacrifice for me. Well, God just wanted to find out what was on the man's throne of the man's heart. He didn't believe in killing little babies like that. And we do it all the time here in America. It's called abortion. Amen. They offered them to Molech back then in Bible days, the god of fire. And yet we got people in America take a syringe and stick it up in the back of a baby's neck that's coming out of the birth canal and kill that little child. Same demon, just that, you know, we legalize it and think we're smart. No, we're stupid. Because God is the author of life, and God loves life, and God loves people. God is more interested in people than God is interested in anything. And that's why we're studying this, because we want to be a person that pleases God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. You must believe he is. You must believe he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. And if you diligently seek him, you're going to have temptations. I cannot tell you. I've gone on 10-day fast. I've gone on 14-day fast. I've gone on 21-day fast with nothing but water. Come off of that fast, walk down, turn the TV on, and the first thing I see is the flesh. First time you go out, there's a woman. That's just flesh, flesh, flesh. and you fed your spirit and fed your spirit and fed your spirit for 10, 14, and 21 days seeking God, and then the flesh tries to rise up. How many know what I'm talking about? Amen. Everybody does. And so everybody's ever fasted. Some people never fast. I said some people never fast. They don't know what it is to deny themselves and to seek God. And guess what? They won't ever have real power with God either. If you want real power with God, Job said, I desire your presence more than I desire my necessary food. Get a passion. Hallelujah. And God will tell you when to push the plate away. Amen. But idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, verse 20. Emulations, strife, seditions, heresies, envying somebody for what they have, murders, drunkenness, getting drunk with alcoholic beverages, amen, revelings, wild parties, and such like. I mean, you ever looked at that, what they call it, when they go down to the beach and all the kids at beach weekend or whatever they do, and they go down, they get drunk, and they fornicate and do about anything and everything, and God help us. That's what you call revelings right there. Wild parties. Wondering what in the world did I do when I did what I did. That is not God. I can promise you that. And look at this. And the such like, of which I tell you before, as I've also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. We're studying this because we want to know how to walk in the Spirit, how to bear spiritual fruit, and what not to do. Because God said, if you bear these lusts of the flesh, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. Oh, you're saved. You can never get unsaved. That's like saying once you're a child of the devil, you can never, you know, be a child of God. That's just stupidity. I mean, we want to go to the Word of God and see what does the Word say? The Word says, walk in the Spirit. You'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And if you fulfill the lust of the flesh, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. I think we need more preaching like that in America. We made it soft, and, you know, God is a good God, but God is holy, and he wants me to be holy, and he wants you to be holy. And Jesus is coming for a glorious, triumphant, victorious church without spot, without blemish, or any such thing. He's coming for a virgin bride, those that have a pure spirit, been washed in the blood of Jesus, and that live their life in such a way that they're saying, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Whether you come to me in my moment of death or whether you come in the rapture, it makes no difference to me, Lord. I'm ready. Hallelujah. That's the way to live, and that's the way to die. So look at those 17 works of the flesh. They're manifestations of man's lower nature. And if you went to 1 Corinthians chapter 16, you can find more of them. They're just 17 and such the like. But let's look again at the fruit of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. So there are 9 fruit of the Spirit listed here and 17 works of the flesh. So just about twice as many negative forces are listed here that are operating in the ungodly as there are positive forces that are operating in the godly. And there are more than that. So the devil drags you down further, and he pushes you down lower than anything you could ever imagine. He's got all of these works and all of these things going on trying to make you ungodly. And that's what he's after. He's after your soul, because what he wants you to do is manifest the works of the flesh, because he knows you cannot inherit the kingdom of God. He wants you to lie, to steal, to cheat, to murder somebody with your tongue, to envy, to have wild parties, and to do whatever fulfills the lust of the flesh. So God wants us to walk in the Spirit, and God can give you the faith and clean your life up to where you can walk above the devil's whole mess. Amen. Hallelujah. That's what I'm so glad about God, because God can do anything. Look at Galatians. Put up Galatians 5:24. It says, they that are Christ. I love this. Verse 24. Galatians 5:24. Are you Christ tonight? That wasn't in the outline, Brother Blue. Galatians 5:24. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lust. So you won't just do it automatically. If you're Christ, though, if you belong to him, you will do it. Because you'll have such an intense love for him and wanting to please him that you will crucify the flesh with the affections and its lust. Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. It's the crucifixion of the old man. Put Galatians 2:20 up, brother. Galatians 2:20, if you've never memorized this, I would suggest to you that you memorize it. It's a powerful verse of scripture. I am crucified, Paul said, with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, in this fleshly body, he's not saying I'm walking in the flesh. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So when you're struggling on an issue and you're praying about it, whose faith do you have? Look at that. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. I'm not struggling for faith. Faith comes by reading the Word, hearing the Word, and I've got Christ in me, and I've got the faith of Christ. You've got him in you, turn him loose. The mystery God had hidden for ages is Christ in you, Colossians 1:27, the hope of glory. That was God's mystery plan, and the Bible says if the devil had known this, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. That God had a plan that Jesus Christ would come, the last Adam. And what the first Adam lost, that the last Adam, Jesus Christ, some people call him the second Adam. No, he's not the second Adam. He's the last. He's the second man, but the last Adam. And there'll never be another Adam. Amen. There'll never be another Christ is coming. Christ has done his work. And now you and I, as we walk in the Spirit, he gives us power and authority and joy and peace. Now put Galatians 5:22 and 23 up there. But the fruit of the Spirit, where does it come from? It comes from the Christ nature in you. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Those first three right there, they're manifestation toward God. Love God. The joy. See, you have the love of God shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. So that's vertical to God. You have the joy of the Lord, which is your strength. And peace. You have the peace of God, which passes understanding. Love, joy, peace. The next three, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness. They're outward. I'm long-suffering with people when they do me wrong. Long-suffering. I like to drag that one out because sometimes people will try your patience. And you feel like, you know, just going off. But that's the flesh. And so what you have to do is be long-suffering. Gentleness and goodness. You just show a gentle, kind spirit. Long-suffering, gentleness, and goodness. That's toward your fellow man. That we know a tree by the fruit it bears. So if you pop off every time, you know, then something's wrong. And I have to work on that one. Amen. Do you? All right, then. I think everybody has to work on it. And so then faith and going around it. Faith, meekness, and temperance, they are toward the inner man. Faithfulness. Are you faithful in your church attendance? Are you faithful in your tithing? Are you faithful in your Bible reading? Are you faithful in your prayer? Or is church just something you do? Is it just something that, you know, with some people it's a profession. Dear God, I'd go get me a shovel and start digging a hole if that's what it was to me. I'd say, God, give me a shovel, please. Let me do something productive. You know, let me love you, praise God, and let me love what I do for you. Faithfulness, meekness, and temperance, self-control. So they are toward the inward man. They're inward. So there are three toward God, three toward your fellow man, and three of those nine fruit go inward towards you. Hallelujah. So there are just about twice as many negative forces, though, working in us as our positive forces if we don't crucify that old man. But God can give you faith to clean up the whole mess. The fruit of the Spirit, I had put this on a chart. I'll do the best I can with it. The fruit of the Spirit is love. And if you were to take, which I did, and put the works of the flesh beside that, you would find that the work of the flesh opposite that is adultery. Then if you were to look at the fruit of the Spirit of joy, opposite that would be fornication. Just go home and do it. I had a nice handout. Joy and fornication are opposites. They have absolutely no relationship. See, the devil's work can bring pleasure for a season, but I promise you one thing, it will not bring joy. There are a lot of people that get rich by selling drugs. There were people that got rich back in the day of Prohibition by selling liquor. But see, they bring sorrow. God's blessings, the blessings of the Lord maketh rich, and he added no sorrow with it. So if you get yours right, guess what? Nobody can take it away from you. Because the blessings of the Lord, it maketh rich. He added no sorrow with it. And I just rather have it from God and try to push my way somewhere and get somewhere, you know, having to walk over people and trying to get promotions where they belong to other people possibly. But see, I learned something in life. God has a seed time, harvest time. Whatever man sows, he reaps. And when you sow right, you're going to reap right. And if you sow wrong, you're going to reap wrong. It may not happen today. I've had preachers that have fallen from grace tell me, I still got the anointing. I said, God didn't say you're going to heaven because you got the anointing. The Bible says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Don't ever measure your life on the giftings that God gives you. A lot of people make that mistake. Oh, I've got it. Praise God. No, you don't have anything God didn't give you. And neither do I, neither does anybody else. You know, the Bible says, in Romans 12:2 said, not to think more highly of yourself than you ought, but God gives to every man as it pleases him the gifts, the talents, the abilities. So God is the giver, and we don't ever need to get mixed up on that. And we need to have a humble spirit. God resists the proud. He gives grace to the humble. Now, I want God resisting me to you. So all of what we're talking about is bearing this thing we're talking about, spiritual fruit. And it's important, the fruit that we bear, and it's important that we live a holy life. So the fruit of the Spirit, peace, the work of the flesh that will parallel that would be uncleanness. How can you have peace if there's rebellion in your heart at the same time and you're doing things that are unclean? See, it's like that cluster. They all fit together. And if one is marred, then the whole cluster is marred. And Paul even equates that to the church. He said, a little leaven leaveneth the whole bunch. He said, if there's sin in the church, deal with it. Some people don't like it when you deal with it. Call them to the side. Deal with them in love. Faith works by love. And sometimes a pastor or a shepherd, he has to put things in divine order. Some people will leave when you do that. Well, some people leave when you treat them the best you could treat anybody. Amen. Don't ever expect your rewards from man. Expect your reward from God. And God will see to it that if you sow good seed, that you have a great, wonderful harvest. Amen. So as long as you have an unclean thing in your heart, you can say, give me peace, give me peace, give me peace, Lord, all you want to, but you won't ever have peace. The only way you'll have peace with God is to have your heart cleansed by the blood of Jesus. The unclean things of this world, they do not produce peace. They produce regret. They produce sorrow. Amen. See, but a good, clean life, it produces peace. Isn't it wonderful to lay down at night and to know you've not wronged anybody? Some people may think you've wronged them, but if you know you haven't, you have peace. If you haven't sinned, you have peace. You have peace with God. And I'd rather have peace with God. I want peace with my fellow man. I'm a blessed of the peacemakers. Theirs is the kingdom of God. I'm quick to make peace, but I'd rather have peace with God than I have with anyone else. And the Bible says, as much as is in you, follow peace with all men. Now, some people, they're not going to let you be peaceful toward them. They're just not. And so as much as within you, do the best you can. And what we're talking about really is godly living, the fruit of the Spirit. What do you produce in your life as you face the battles of life, as you face the issues of life, as you face the challenges of life? Are you bearing these fruit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. It's important that we all do. And I probably struggle with this more than some people do. But the fourth part of the fruit of the Spirit is long-suffering. And right across from that is lasciviousness, a work of the flesh. And then as gentleness and idolatry, which would be a work of the flesh, if I had that chart to hand you. So idolatry is anger against God. Now, some people are angry against God. Have you ever met anybody like that? They're just angry against God. Anyone who worships an idol, they are in rebellion to God. They are. So anything that you put before God is an idol. And then there's goodness. Across from that, if you just go home, put those fruit of the Spirit and line them up in a row like I've done for you, you can see right across from that is witchcraft. So faith and then hatred. So you cannot have faith in your heart and have hatred for someone in your heart at the same time. Now, millions of people in the church who said, 20 years ago they did me wrong and I'll never forgive them. I've had people tell me, I hate them. I said, you won't go to heaven for a spirit like that. You just won't do it. I said, God is going to have to work on you. I said, he sent me to help you. Hallelujah. I said, you can't have hatred and faith. The Bible says faith worketh by love. How can you have faith if you hate? You can't. Faith worketh by love. Amen. That's the only way it works, too. Put Galatians 5 and 6 up there, brother. There's a lot of part of that verse. Some people want great faith. Well, here's where you get faith. You love people. You make allowances for their shortcomings. You realize that, hey, they might just be having a struggle that I don't know anything about. They might just need my prayers. And instead of being offended by it and going off, you know, get alone and talk to God about it. And say, Lord, what's going on for that person? How can I help them? For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision. He's saying that cutting of the flesh doesn't matter. He's talking to Jews, and they thought they had to follow the laws of Moses. Paul even later says that he is a Jew which is not one outwardly, but he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and circumcision is not of the flesh, but of the heart. Has your heart been circumcised by the surgical tool of the Holy Ghost, the sword of the Spirit, the word of God? If it has, then praise God, then you belong to Christ. But look at that. Circumcision availeth nothing, but faith which works by love. That's the only way faith will ever work. And if you can't love people, if you're deficient in that area, guess what? Then you have to pray and pray and say, God, help me to love them. God, I don't even like them. You know, some people look better going than they do coming. You ever met anybody like that? That every time they come, they bring strife and all types of turmoil, and they got something negative all the time. I see them. I know you see them. But you got to love those people because faith works by love. See, if you have faith in your heart, you don't hate. And if you have faith in your heart, if you have hate in your heart, you don't have faith and you don't have love. If you're a hater, ask God to help you to forgive that person. And then that's meekness versus variance, which is variance is conflict, quarreling, disagreements. There are people that they just disagree with everything. And you could say it's black and they say, no, it's white. You can say it's white and they say, no, it's black. I mean, it's just people like that. You know, you just got to make allowance. And then there's temperance, emulation. Seeking to exceed someone else. There's a man that, you know, I always wondered why my spirit just does not agree with his spirit. And Simon Shabinga came and he told me. He said, he's just too full of himself. I never mentioned the man's name to him. But I've been praying. I said, God, what is it with that man? What is it? Simon said, he's just too full of himself. And there are people like that. You know, they're full of themselves and not full of God. And so love those people. And pretty soon, guess what? They'll come crumbling down. They'll come boom. You know, the higher you go, I guarantee you, the further you'll fall. And when they fall, they're going to need your love. They're going to need your friendship. They're going to need your kindness. So just stick around and you'll watch the fall and you can be there to help them. and to restore them with the spirit of meekness and the spirit of love. And then when you do something like that, let me tell you, you are a person that is walking in the fruit of the Spirit, and you're like Christ, and you're bearing the fruit that you should bear. Hallelujah. See, the devil couldn't put all his works in 9, so he had to list at least 17, and then that's a lot more if you go look in some other places in the Bible. But there's more bad stuff in this world than there is good stuff. How many already knew that? Amen? And there are more ways to describe evil. If you look at these lists, and there is to describe good. But thank God we can find out what Jesus was like. And if we emulate Christ, then we grow in grace and knowledge. But grow in grace and knowledge. 2 Peter 3:18. Put that up there, brother. 2 Peter 3:18. I love this scripture. It was something I gave to my wife on a Valentine's Day. The plaque is actually in my office right now. Her boyfriend that was... she was dating at the time. I took her to church, and he sent her red roses and candy. And she probably thought I was crazy when I showed up with my little plaque. I said, the roses will fade. And I won't tell you what I said the candy will do. I said, but the roses will fade. I said, but when I come, I guarantee you one thing. I'll bring the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valley, and he will never fade. I promise you that. But I gave her this scripture. I said, she was going to church with me. I said, this is the key right here to your Christian growth. This is the key to an abundant life. I was a brand new Christian, but I found that scripture, and I started seeking God when I found that. But grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. That's a powerful verse of scripture. So, if you do the 17 things that are listed in the work of the flesh, guess what? The Bible says you will not inherit the kingdom of God. I don't care what hotshot preacher gets up and preaches otherwise. If you do those things, God's word says you shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So it's important that we look at those works, because we're in a culture today where the culture is not being influenced by the church as much as it should be, but the church is being influenced by the culture. So we've got young people coming into our services, and if somebody doesn't stand up and teach them the Word of God and teach them what God says versus what the culture... I saw some ignoramus, I won't even call the names of the show, but what he was doing, he was interviewing a preacher who is very well known, has the largest church in the United States of America. I won't call his name, but he has the largest church, and he said, this is what I think. This is what the Bible says, and I choose to believe what the Bible says. And he would not take a stand. He just would not take a stand. I'll take a stand. I promise you. If the Bible says it, I don't care who it insults. I don't care what they think about political correctness. If God's word says this, you can do what you want to. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And I'm going to serve the Lord with fear and with reverence, knowing that God is a holy God and that I'm not in myself anything, but I need the help of God. I need the Word of God. I need the Spirit of God. I need the blood of God. I need God to help me. But I found a little verse over in Jude. It says, unto him that is able to keep us from falling and present us faultless before his presence with exceeding great joy. That means if he's going to keep me faultless, there must have been a time I was made faultless. Amen. And that was when I went to Calvary and the blood of Jesus Christ flushed out all the filth and all the sin and all the works of the flesh that I'd ever committed up to that time. And God put my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Hallelujah. Made me an heir and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Pulled me out of the cesspools of sin and iniquity. Translated me out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. Into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. That's when you and I were made clean. And nothing's ever born clean, but you got to go back and get sanctified. See, sanctified. People don't teach that. That means to be set apart. That means to be washed. But when I got saved, I had an experience so powerful. I didn't want to do any of those things, but I did have a sanctification experience. And God cleaned me up. I got saved on a Sunday. I got sanctified on a Wednesday. I didn't know it, but that Saturday man was going to sit at the breakfast table, and he was going to curse me out. But it's like when I had that sanctification experience, it was like a bulletproof Lexan shield went up around me, and he cursed me out. He said, "You going to sit there after what we just said?" I said, "I didn't say it. You said it." I'm a Vietnam veteran. I mean, I'm a brand new Christian. I've been struggling with Vietnam for 17 years at that time. Didn't faze me at all. "You gonna sit there?" I said, "I'm gonna sit and eat my breakfast. You can go out and sit in the car. You can sit at the table, but I'm gonna eat my breakfast." I had been sanctified. Amen. That old man had been put to death. And sometimes we have to go back, you know, and let God do some works on us. But thank God you can be sanctified. Amen. So, the devil drags you down, and the devil will try to push you down. But God can give you faith to live above sin. Look at Matthew 7:17. This is Jesus talking. Let's get down to what Jesus has to say about it. Matthew 7:17, Jesus said, "Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit." So what kind of fruit are you bearing? Who are you connected to? I'm connected to the true vine, and I make mistakes, and I confess my sin. Put 1 John 1:9 up there, because we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. But 1 John 1:9, so many new Christians, they don't know this, and they fail, and a lot of older Christians don't know this. But look at this, 1 John 1:9, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Now, I want you to notice that word, S-I-N-S. Sins. See, the thing that we needed to get rid of was that sin, S-I-N nature. And once you get rid of that, then the root has been dealt with. But sometimes the fruit will try to, of the old man will try to manifest itself. And they are called sins and not the S-I-N, the sin nature. Sin is the fountain. Sins is the water flowing from that fountain. Amen. Sin is the nature. And once that nature is crucified, God helps us to walk in the Spirit. So Jesus said, "You know a tree by the fruit it bears." So a good tree brings forth good fruit, God's fruit. A corrupt tree, it brings forth evil fruit, the devil's fruit. Amen. So if you have bad on the inside of you, guess what? Bad's going to come out. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So you got to put the word in. Look at Matthew 7:18. "A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit." Some people think you can have both types of fruit at the same time. I don't believe that. I just look at that. See, if you have good on the inside, good is going to come out. If you have bad on the inside, bad is going to come out. And if anything bad comes out, then we need to repent. That's when we need that advocate, and that's when we need 1 John 1:9 to confess our sins, because God says good should come out of our heart. Amen. If a person commits adultery, guess what? It's because it's in their heart. It's been in there somewhere. You'll have to deal with it. Deal with the root. If a person lies and gossips, guess what's in their heart? That's what's in their heart. And some people, you know, they just gossip, gossip, gossip. So get your heart clean. I have to get mine clean. Like old David said, I think David had a problem. He said, "Search me, O God, try me. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." I pray that over and over and over, because I don't want anything that keeps my prayers from being answered. I need answered prayer. And one of the greatest things in the world to me is to pray a prayer to God and then to have God answer my prayer. I cannot tell you the thrill that it gives me to know that I talk to God and God answered my prayer. Isn't it wonderful to have answered prayer? Well, if you want your prayers answered, that's what we're talking about, the fruit of the Spirit. And if you have the lust of the flesh, then it's like a battery cable. You're going to have something contaminating the flow. We don't want anything that contaminates the source of power from here to God and back from God. So you'll have to learn to walk in the Spirit. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Proverbs said, out of the abundance of the heart come the issues of life. What kind of issues come out of your heart? And out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. They're all scripture. Some people say, how many times should we come to the altar? Well, you keep coming until you get your spirit right. Amen. And once you get your spirit right, guess what? Look at Galatians 7:19. Every tree that bringeth forth not good fruit is hewed down and cast into the fire. So if your spirit's not right, I don't want to go there. Keep coming to the altar till you get your heart clean. What is it in your heart that bothers you? What did somebody do? See, the church is full of that. Somebody did me wrong. They offended me. Well, don't go. Put Hosea 5:15 up there, brother. Don't go to the place of offense. Because if you get offended, guess what? God's not going there with you. And, you know, I search my heart constantly. Hosea 5:15. God said, I will go and return to my place till they acknowledge their offense. Well, you don't know what they did to me, Pastor. Well, God does. You do. Why are you offended at them? You want to be cut off from God? Look at this. This is powerful. God says, I will go and return to my place till they acknowledge their offense and seek my face. God says, I am the I am. He's not even in a capsule of time, but we are in the days of a man of 70, perhaps our reason of strength 80. That's 80. But we're in a capsule of time, but he's the I am. You know, he's the I am of eternity. He's the same yesterday and today and forever. He said, I'm the Lord, I change not. But guess where we are? We're captured in this capsule of time. And it's here on this earth that we have an opportunity to make a difference. Or we have an opportunity to make the difference that we're going to make in this world. Hallelujah. I will go and return to my place till they acknowledge their offense. Who are you mad at? Who are you upset at? Who's done you wrong? Who is it you don't like? Get it out of your heart. I plead with you. Get it out of your heart. God says, I want you to acknowledge that offense and seek my face. And then he says this, in their affliction, they will seek me early. I cannot tell you the people I have prayed for that they were offended at people and could not get healed. And I've given them verses like this. And I talked to a pastor recently. And he said, you've gotten in my case. I said, no, I haven't. He said, yes, you have. I said, I've never seen that. He said, I know exactly what I need to do. See, just that one word that God would give you to speak. Everybody's looking for a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom, and prophesy over somebody. One word that'll set the captive free is worth it all. Because you can't pray that prayer for that man. You can't pray for that prayer for that offended person. The only person that can pray that prayer is that person that is offended. There's some sins you cannot repent for those sins for other people. But if you give them the word of God, and that's what this study has been about, is the fruit of the Spirit, and we're comparing those to the works of the flesh tonight. Because like I said at the beginning, sometimes it's better to know what something isn't than to know what it is. It helps us to know what it isn't to help us to know what it is. Does that make any sense? Look at Matthew 7:19. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewed down and cast into fire. Wherefore you shall know them by the fruit that they bear. Pastor Ricky. Look at 1 John 4:4. This really sums it up. Ye of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So if you're struggling, you've got the greater one in you. Look at John 15:16. Jesus said, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. And ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain. And here's the part about being connected to the true vine. And whatsoever you ask of God, whatsoever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it you. That's the how I want to live. And finally, here are the rewards of living a good life. Look at Romans 6:22. I love this. But now, being made free from sin and become servants of God, you have your fruit unto holiness. And here's what I want for everybody, and myself included, and the end, everlasting life. Look at that. It's powerful. Now, being made free from sin, become servants of God. We're talking about fruit. You have your fruit unto holiness. Isn't that beautiful? And the end, everlasting life. Let us stand. Hallelujah.
Give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. I give myself away. Here I stand.
Take my hand.
Oh, yes, Lord.
Lord, my life is in your hands. Lord, I long to see
your desires.
Your desires reach. Give myself away. I give myself away so you can. I like for us all come down to the altar. We're just going to sing this unto the Lord. Say, Lord, this is my prayer. I give myself to you tonight.
Self away.
I want to be used of you, Lord. I want to bear good fruit.
I give myself away.
I know I'm deficient in areas, Lord, but I come to you. I give myself to you. Come in tight so everybody can get into the altar.
Use me. I give myself away.
Give myself away so you can use me. Come to God's altar. That's where we make things right. That's where we bow our hearts to the Lord. Lord, I come to your altar. The altar's all out throughout the Old Testament. It's that altar that we make. It's that step of faith. God, I'm coming to give myself. I'm not mine, Lord. I've been bought with a price. I give myself to you.